is I want us to turn over to Mark chapter 3, verses 3 through 17, and Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. We're going to speak today on baptism. Obedience revealed. Baptism, obedience revealed. I'm going to be using the New Living Translation today, starting with verse 13 in Mark. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you," he said, "so why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires," so that John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." Now again, we sin, the great disconnect, salvation, redemption's result, and then there's baptism. All pertaining to grace, there's baptism, to where there's an obedience revealed. And here, I wanted to use this scripture today. I really felt led of the Lord to use this scripture, is because baptism is a meaningful part of our life. Baptism doesn't save you at all. What saves you is the blood of Jesus Christ. Baptism is very important for our life. I would say today, if you've never been baptized after you've been saved, you need to be baptized. Now, is it going to make you any more saved than you are right now? Nope. But what it's going to do is going to show an obedience that you're revealing to the world. The same thing that Jesus did here, he did not need to be baptized, but it was spoken that that's what should happen. And he was fulfilling God's word, his word. He was fulfilling what was written about him to do. John said, "You know what? I'm not doing this. I should be being baptized by you. I'm not even worthy to tie your shoes. I'm not even worthy to do this at all." And Jesus said, "No, you've got to do this because it is written. It's something that needs to be done." And so Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan in front of a huge crowd. And he comes out of that baptism water, and the Holy Ghost descends on him. And God speaks and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And you and I need to understand that when we are baptized by God, whether baptized in water, baptized in the Spirit, baptized in fire, there is an important part of your life that becomes real to others around you. There's a change. There's a statement. There's that inward obedience with an outward sign that you've been baptized, that you've been touched by God. And so I want you to grab a hold of, if you will, the importance of realizing that there needs to be in your life, in every Christian's life, an obedience that reveals who Christ is in you and who you are in Christ. There needs to be a statement made that this is whom I believe. I believe he's the Savior of the world. This is whom I believe. I believe he's the only begotten Son of God. This is whom I believe. I believe this is the Master, the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, who is the only one that can save me, the only one that can forgive me of my sins. Now in Romans 6 and chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, Romans 6, verses 3 through 5, also in the New Living Testament. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. We may also live new lives. I want you to say that with me. We may also live new lives. Say it again with me. We may also live new lives. And that states, because of our being baptized, we are literally going into that baptismal as Christ went into the grave. We died to ourselves, and when we come out of that baptismal, we come out alive in Christ. We are stating to the public that sees us be baptized that we have a new life now, a brand new life. If your life is in any way the same before you were saved, you need to check out your save gauge. You'll find that's in your heart. If you're living in sin and thinking you're still saved, you need to check out your save gauge. You're a new creature. You're in love with God. God's in love with you. I mean, how wonderful is that? How great and marvelous is that? How enticing it is to get closer to God because you're forgiven. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I'm just so radically saved that I want to tell everybody about it because I'm not going to go to hell. Even when someone drives by me because I may have cut them off and they told me to go to hell, I'm not going to go to hell. I'm saved. I'm alive in Christ. I'm not going to be cursed. I'm free. And we'll say, Pastor, why are you so excited? Because the life that I came out of and the life that I have now are so diametrically different. The life that I came out of was torment, fear, crime, death. If it wasn't for Jesus, I tell this to everybody, so don't think this is something I'm just broadcasting so you could get into this message. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd either be in prison or dead right now. But because of Jesus, I'm alive, preaching the gospel, full of the Holy Ghost, excited with a relationship. I'm free. Free to praise him and free to just seek his face. Free, I'm at liberty to know that Jesus Christ lives within me. And if you're saved, so are you. Free. Free. I tell people all the time the importance of salvation. I've declared in 2014 before the throne room of grace that I am going to offer salvation every time I preach the gospel. What if you preach to a bunch of folks that are already saved? I'm going to offer them Jesus. Because maybe they think they're saved, but maybe they aren't saved. I'm not going to judge their salvation. I'm just going to offer them Jesus and let the Holy Ghost do the rest. Praise God, I'm glad someone came into my life and offered me Jesus. Several times before that, they offered me Jesus, and this is what I said. I know Jesus. Know him well. But I didn't know him as Savior. I knew him as Jesus. How can you live in America and not know who Jesus is? Well, it's possible. I was in a mall in Modesto, California in 1983. And this young girl there was standing around. And it was Christmas time. And I looked at her. You know, I'm pretty forward with people, if you ever noticed that. Outspoken, and I don't really believe I am, but they say I am, and literally there, and her mother was there, and my wife was over just a list over in the front window, so it wasn't like I was speaking to somebody that, you know, I didn't know, you know, and I looked, and I said, do you know that this is Christmas? She goes, yeah, I do, and I said, do you know this is Jesus' birthday? And she said to me, who's Jesus? And it hit me. You know, there are people that don't know who Jesus is because the church doesn't tell everybody who Jesus is. Sometimes we want to keep that salvation all, you know, bound up as a little gift that we carry around that's unwrapped that no one can see. Unwrap it. Let everybody see your salvation. You young people in high school, let everybody in middle school, in college, you let people see your salvation. Praise God. You are working secular jobs in an employment where they say, you know, this is what you're here, this is what I've hired you to do, you know, and you're not allowed to by law declare and preach the gospel on the job, but you can live the gospel out loud. You can show your love, you can show your kindness, you can do things that are really unique, and people say, wow, that's really great. I knew a construction guy one time that was very, very much involved with the Bible, and he was working. He would be in his verbiage, he would be pounding the nails, he said, and all day long and sweat. He said he worked so hard that he would go past sweating in that hot sun. But he said every once in a while he'd just put that hammer down on the job and just raise his hands up and shout, "Hallelujah!" They couldn't do anything to him because he was just shouting hallelujah. And he said a lot of the guys around work started to come and ask him about this hallelujah shout. What does this mean? He began to tell them that he was a born-again believer. He was a pastor. And every day they'd wait for him to start shouting sometime during the day. He said he'd just get the feeling to put his hammer down, stop framing. And if you've ever framed, you have to be a young man to frame. And he would frame, and then all of a sudden he'd just put the hammer down and just shout hallelujah. Showing that grace, that love. You know, I'm telling you, I'm hoping that I'm waking you up today. I'm hoping that I'm shaking you out of a comfortably numb salvation, you know, and literally shaking it, saying to you that you need to remember who you once were and be glad who you are now in Christ Jesus. And that would be exciting stuff. Since we have been united with him in his death, we also will be raised to life as he was. Wow. We're going to be raised to life. We're going to go to heaven. Now, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to hanging out forever with God. I've told people this, and I know this sounds funny, but I'm telling you, it's serious to me. When they call for the half hour of silence, they're going to have to chase me down because I'm going to be shouting forever up there. I'm going to be glad to be home. Glad to be away from this old cursed world and the violence and the ill and the things that go on in this world. It's just horrific. Because up there, there's no more tears. For God will wipe away our tears himself. No more sickness. No more pain. No more rheumatoid arthritis. No more back pains. No more bad knees. No more migraines. No more dialysis. No more fear. No new brand new diseases that show up. It'll be a pure place, and he has provided that for us. You see, grace bestowed and gifted us because of God's justice and his willingness to save us from sin and destruction. We have to understand that the Bible is very clear that we've been saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 and 8. We have been crucified with Christ. And that the life we now live, we live by faith. Galatians 2 and 20. We don't live anymore. We live by faith in the one who gave himself for us. He lives a life through us to where we can proclaim his great love and his mercy, his deliverance. And I want to say it again. He did not have to do this. Oh, I know I can get some debate from different people on that. God had to do it because it was just, of course that's true. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He did not have to do it, and who would argue with him if he didn't do it? God could have said to Adam and Eve, you messed up. There's only two of you. We're starting over. Who's going to say anything to him? I want you to answer that question on your own. Who is going to debate God? Shakespeare said it like this: don't ever argue with a person who owns the paper mill, the ink company, and the pen company, when all you got is a stubby pencil with a broken lead and a worn out eraser. Don't think that you can tell God what he has to do. God will do exactly what he wants to do, and he willed in his heart to give us salvation, to give us another chance, to give us something that they want to say. Oh, you can study Dake, and you can study Larkin, and you can study all these preachers of old that want to go through the anti-Diluvian age and talk about the years that separated, where in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, to the second verse in Genesis, and talk about all that. You can say this, you can say that, and God started over, and God, oh, you know what? All I can tell you is that God gave us grace.
Amen.
God protected us. God has blessed us, and God has given us something that all of us need every day of our life. We have been joined in baptism with Christ Jesus. Not only did he invite us into his kingdom by his death and resurrection, but he invited us into joining him in baptism. The same baptism that he did. He invited us to join with him and to march down those roads with him, and to know that because of that, we can say this: or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? I think that's wonderful, that we joined him in his death. I am so glad that I died to self. How many realize that self is still there with you? How many realize that your self jumps up, the old man jumps up and says, here I am, and this is what I want you to do today. And you oftentimes should not, but oftentimes people bow to that self and they do exactly what self wants to do. But the spirit is always willing to follow God, but the flesh is weak. The flesh wants to control. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes try to conquer everyday humanity. Even though part of humanity is saved, it still tries to conquer that part through lying, through cheating, through doubting, through discouragement, through apathy, lethargy, gossip. It is an amazing thing what envy will do to somebody. It's an amazing thing what jealousy will do to somebody. It's an amazing thing when a spirit of competitiveness that is not of God comes upon it. People begin to compete with one another on who can wear the greatest label and who can be the greatest prophet and who can speak the best message. None of that means anything. What means this? Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else I say today, if all of a sudden my mouth just starts going, but you don't hear anything else I say today, know this. All you need is not a title, is not a position, is not a label, is not to be the victor. All you need in life is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. That's all. I'm telling you, in heaven, there is not a man or woman of God that holds a title that will be called pastor or apostle up there. The Bible has already clearly stated, and I'm going to preach in a minute, I believe. The Bible has already clearly stated this, that when we get there, we're going to have a new name.
Yes, right.
Praise God. I particularly don't want my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, Pastor Dennis Adams. No! I want him to write down Dennis Jerome Adams. That's my baptismal name. And I want you to realize today that I'm saying that facetiously. I just want my name down there. Amen. I don't know what my new name's going to be, but I'm hoping it's going to be a good one. But I figure if God chooses it, it's going to be a good one. Amen. It's going to be all right. So first of all, we have to talk about a word today. And as I finish this introduction, let me say this to you. Obedience. The word obedience. And the first thing we got to talk about today is obedience. That's right there, you know. Our obedience is revealed through an outward act that reveals the inward change. Our obedience to God allows us to live a life that's wholesome before God and mankind. A life full of integrity. A life to where we can laugh as we're laughing now. And enjoy each other's comfort. Enjoy each other's life together. It's a life that God has given us, but through obedience. But what brings discomfort in relationship is disobedience. What brings discomfort in a relationship with God and man is man's disobedience to who God is in their life. God cannot be manipulated. God cannot be structured the way you want him to be. God cannot be made to look and act like the world. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of everything that you and I can see. He's the creator of the air we breathe. He's the creator of the sun that warms us and the moon that guides us by night, the light. He is the light of the world. He's all those things, and he is worthy of all praise. And he simply asks this of us: be obedient. Be obedient. Live for who you know God is. Don't let the world form you into what the image they want you to become. And whether or not you realize today, and I say that again in a very humble way, because I'm sure you do realize, the world is trying to form you, is trying to form the church, is trying to form individuals into accepting everything the world says is right. We have to grab a hold and understand that the statement of action reveals the source of our salvation through Jesus Christ. We are revealing the source of our whole identity when we're obedient. Believe me, obey God every day and watch your life change. Watch it become better. Watch it become something that you could be happier with in your life. Obey God. And let me tell you right now, God will forgive you immediately if you're sincere in your repentance. Worldly sorrow bringeth death, but godly sorrow bringeth repentance. God will forgive you. Man may never forgive you. But I'm going to tell you right now, if man doesn't forgive you, that doesn't stop you from getting saved. God forgave you. You know that what God has done for you is real because you've accepted it by faith. You believe it. If you don't believe it, then you're not accepting him at all. You must first believe that he is if you're going to please him. You have to believe that he is. That's the first thing I want you to think about right now. Do you believe God is? He's there with you. He's there when you wake up in the morning. He's there when you close your eyes at night. He is there. Now listen, when you go through something you should not be going through, he is there. And he loves you so much that he forgives and wants to continue for you to say, I am dying to myself inside that I may make a statement of life on the outside. I am dying to myself. What I want, I'm not going to do, because what I want is not what God wants for my life. I tell you, the greatest thing anybody that can, by the sound of my voice, whether here, whether across the digital waves, whatever it may be, the only thing that you should really understand is this, and everything else falls in place. God, I just want to serve you.
Amen.
You don't battle for God. He sends you into battle, but it's his battle. He just wants you to be there so you can see what he's going to do. That's why God can send in a choir and kill, knock down three enemies, take all the spoil, take it back home, and no one gets scratched. Everybody sang the whole time.
That's right.
Boy, I wish church was like that. Set a time, folks come to church. I'm being a little evangelist here right now for a moment. Many times people come to church ready to fight.
Yeah.
Ready to tear it down. Bless God if I was the pastor. Oh, bless God if I was an elder. And oh, bless God if I was the usher. I'd count everybody's offering first before I'd let that ungodly clerk look at it. They're going to fight. 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 Instead of coming in praising, singing, letting God take care of everything that may be wrong. Because when we praise and sing, God will take care of the wrong and make it right. Oh, someone shout. My goodness. Well, here, I'll get you to laugh again. Jerome. That's what God wants you to do when you think about him. Laugh and enjoy life.
Oh, all right, Jerome.
Amen. I am revealing my faith in Christ, is what you're saying. When you worship, I'm revealing my faith in Christ. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
It's not how loud, it's not how emotional, it's not about how you dress, where you attend, what neighborhood, what your dad and mom's name is, whether you were born in church. It doesn't matter about any of that. What it matters is this. Are you obeying and serving God? I just want to serve God. That's all I want to do in life, is serve God. I don't care. I don't care about titles. I don't care about positions. I don't care about committees. I don't care about boards. I don't care about all the stuff that comes along with Christianity. What I care about at the end of the day when I lay my head on the pillow after praying for a while about folks that I love and going through a prayer list of many, many names and asking God to heal and to bless and to restore and to prosper. When I lay my head on that pillow at night, I want to be able to say to God, I have served you and only you today. First Peter 3, 20 through 22 in the Amplified. The souls of those who long before in the days of Noah had been disobedient when God's patience waited during the building of the ark in which a few people, actually eight in number, were saved through water. Now, it doesn't state there that they got saved because of water. It's stating that they were saved because of water. In other words, the water that came, the ark, they got inside Jesus, and they were saved because the water couldn't get to them, and the water actually saved them because there was a place for them to be in the ark. And you have to understand something. When you come into Christ, you're in Christ. When you go to that water, you are in Christ. So when you are brought into baptism and taken out, you rise in Jesus Christ, an outward sign of an inward change. You're no longer who you were. Now you're who Jesus Christ has called you to be.
Amen.
And baptism, which is a figure of their deliverance, does now also save you from inward questionings and fears. And you know, there's a lot of people that question God. There's a lot of people that question his way of doing things. I don't know, maybe you don't run into it, but I get questions all the time. If God's so good, why is there so much war? If God's so loving, why is everybody dying in Africa? Oh, they go through all these questions. They have all these questions. They have no idea what's causing things to happen throughout this world is a simple terminology. Sin.
Amen.
Unrepented sin. Worshiping false gods. Because when you look at this world, you see Christians, people that are in love with God, are going into these areas and they're bringing the love of Jesus Christ and offering Jesus, and change is coming. I've been to third world countries. I've seen them worship. I see how much they love God. I see them, no matter what is going on, if they live in a hut, if they have a dirt floor, if they only make a dollar a day, and for $30 a month is their salary, and a loaf of bread costs a dollar. So do the addition, do the multiplication throughout the year. They are just so happy to be saved. So happy to go to church. So happy to worship a King of Kings and a Lord of Glory. It's not about possessions. It's not about how much stuff you have. It's not about the decorations on the wall. It's the decoration of Jesus Christ in your heart. Praise God. It's the picture of his great love and mercy that is shown to people. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Fears. There's so much fear in the church, it's amazing. People wake up afraid. They go to bed afraid, fearing what life is going to do to them, fearing if I lose this, fearing if I don't make this, fearing if I'm not accepted, fearing if I don't pass this. Fear, fear, fear. Go to bed at night saying, God, the day belongs to you. I'm going to serve you no matter what happens. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to obey you. No matter what comes my way, I know you can handle it.
Amen.
Thank you for the clap. Amen. Not by the removing of an outward bodily filth, bathing, but by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience, an inward cleanness and peace. Wow. Inward. Here's what I want to say to you, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Here's what I want to say to you. Are you clean inside, or are you just clean outside? I can't see inside. I can discern. And God shows me things through the giftings he's given me. Not always am I to say anything, but he shows me a lot of things. Question is, are you clean inside? Well, if you're not walking according to the Bible, and if you're sinning every day, you're using language, and you're doing things with chemicals, and you're doing things with lust, and you're doing things with visual sight on television, and you're doing things trying to get by on people, and you're charging people this, and you're trying to walk over your neighbor, and you're trying to get there. Friend, you're not clean inside. But when you love everybody in the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you love people, and you watch what you say, and you believe in prayer, and you believe in God, you say, preacher, I can't live this way. No, you can't, but Jesus can live that way through you. Let him in. Temptation is defeated by God. Can I say that again? Because I think that kind of went in and kind of hung out for a minute. And the inside of you went, let me think about that one. Temptation can only be defeated by God in you. God wants you to live pure, wants you to live holy, wants you to live in His grace and in His mercy. Before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, there's a belief system. You need to believe that you're really saved. I think people go to church saying they're saved, but they don't really believe they're saved. Because the devil's got them like a pretzel, all twisted around, no salt, and you're out of mustard. You know what I'm saying? You're just there. You're not sure. You got it all figured out. So I'm saved. I'm all right. I confessed Jesus 25 years ago. I'm saved. Ain't done nothing with it since I've been saved. But bless God, I'm saved. Don't like my neighbor. I'm a racist. Hate my boss. Tolerate my wife or my husband. Wish I'd never had kids, but I'm saved. I know what you're saved in, but don't let me near your party. You need to be none of those. You need to be everything God wants you to be, and that's Christ Jesus in you. The love that He has for you. Are you with me? Baptism is a sign of grace. It's literally stating, this is what I believe happened to me. This is the grace. I'm going to show you the grace gave me. I'm going to show you that once I was the worst sinner in the neighborhood. I'm going to show you that I did things that I can't even repeat publicly. I'm going to show you the things that I had to go through. I'm going to show you the people that I hurt, I dismantled. I'm going to show you the pain that I caused families. I'm going to show you the stuff that I took and gave to other people for money. I'm going to show you the violence and the anger. I'm going to show you the things that I saw from the ages of 3 and above that are imprinted in my mind. I'm going to show you all that. No, I'm not. That's dead. I'm going to show you life now. Power, joy, happiness, and a belief in God that no man can take a saint of God down. Amen. Amen. And God saved me for this purpose. Every time I went to court to go to jail, the evidence was gone. You don't believe me? It's the truth. The evidence gone. A felon set free. No charges. Done. Evidence gone. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God is so good. I tell you when you pray. Can I tell you when you pray? When you're in trouble. All of a sudden you become a friend of God. I prayed a prayer back in 69. I knelt down in a mental institution in Kentucky, all alone. I knelt down, said 10 Our Fathers, 10 Hail Marys, 15 Glory Bes. At the end of my statement before God, I said this: God, if you get me out of this, I'll never do what got me into this again. Guess what? God got me out of it, and it took me 3 weeks to get back into it and do it again. My point being is when you're in trouble, you'll pray. But God registers those prayers. Registers those prayers. I see this face? This is the face that no matter where I went, people seemed to know me. In jail, they walked up to me and said, "Thank you for getting that guy for us, man. Appreciate it." I said, "Sure, no problem." They walked away, and I looked at my friend. I said, "I don't know who they're talking to, but okay." Strapping me to the lead gang member in the community, going into court, strapping me to him. Him sitting next to me. He said, "Let's move down here. My girl's there." I said, "Yeah, let's just move down here. Your girl's there, you know." He sat down, talked with her, you know, said, "Hey, thank you." And he said, "Hey, thanks a lot. Again, thank you. I'm the guy that's running the whole gang, and I just want to tell you thank you because you took care of business for us." I said, "No problem." Sitting there enjoying a nice cold beer in a bar with some friends, and all of a sudden a guy turns from the bar and jumps across the table and said, "You stabbed my brother, I'm going to kill you." And I said, "That's not me this time." It's a face. And God always is there. Always. It's an amazing thing what God does. I've been surrounded by DEA agents, surrounded by FBI, plainclothes detectives, and suited police in an airport, and I walked right out. They weren't there for somebody else. They were there for me. And I walked right out. God saved me for a time like this. I'm trying to tell you, I wasn't weaned in no church. I didn't have, you know, we went to Mass. I shouldn't be saying all this, and I'm going to anyhow because I'll delete it if I don't like it. Let me tell you something. When we went to Mass at St. Anne's in Cleveland, Ohio, we didn't go up into the pageantry of that beautiful, beautiful cathedral. We were in the basement in the boys' bathroom checking out our guns, showing off our .32 snub noses, and talking about how we were going to get somebody later on that day. Let me tell you something, friend. God saved me for a day just like this. I am ashamed of the things that I've done, but I am glad for the testimony that he gave me that I can reach those that have no idea that there is a God out there in the crime that they're in that can reach into that cave in hell and pull them out and save them. The first time I ever got stoned, for you young youth that think getting stoned is cool, Little Italy, Cleveland, Ohio. Sat down and smoked marijuana with the Hell's Angels, my brother, Hell's Angels. Next thing I knew, I was on the floor in the kitchen. I don't know who I was. My brother said, "Don't touch him because when you pass out in those days, you get in trouble. Get in trouble." He said, "Don't you dare go in there and hurt him." And because of him, I was not hurt that night. God saved me for a time like this. Amen. God saved me for a time like this. God knows what he's doing. I'm not sensationalizing anything. I'm just trying to tell you that wherever you're at in life, and maybe you've never sinned, and maybe you have this beautiful place somewhere in your life, and nothing's ever happened to you, and you've got a silk sheet and silk pillows, and everything is just perfect, and you know you didn't know anything but full coverts, and a mom and dad that washed and worked hard for you, and you lived in a beautiful home your whole life, and there was never anything wrong, and you never saw violence, you never saw anything. Bless your holy name. God saved you for a time like this too.
Amen.
Not all of us were that fortunate, because everything I just said was totally opposite, and I don't have the hour and a half to tell you the things I went through in my home growing up and the things that I saw I couldn't even say in this public arena today because of the age limits that are here. But God saved me for a time like this. So you wonder why I want to tell you about obedience? Because it's what makes me whole. Am I tempted? Every day of my life I'm tempted, but I obey God. I choose to obey Him instead of fall to temptation. Am I strong enough to defeat the temptation? No. So I say, God, I'm not strong enough. You need to help me here. And lo and behold, He rides in on the great salvation horse and blesses me and takes me and guides me and leads me. And thank God for it. Hurry up, preacher. You're preaching too long. No, I haven't even begun yet, but I will slow down because I have mercy for you. Life surrendered. Baptism declares a total surrender unto Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, 26 through 28. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. The life now that we live in union with Jesus Christ, not with the flesh. We should not be in union with our flesh. I want you to go home today, and I'm not going to read it right now, but I want you to go home and I want you to read Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. Read it. It talks about who you surrender your instruments to, your body to. It talks about the freedom. It talks about your life with Christ. It talks about you not being a slave to sin anymore. It talks about not having to be ashamed. It talks about the bountiful free gift of God, eternal life. It's there for you. It's there. Somebody once told me, I wish I could preach. And I say, you better be called to preach, because what you got to do when you preach, you need God. I'd rather be a fool for Christ than a fool for the world. Remember, your heart reveals your soul. You know, sometimes, and I'm going to close with this story. Sometimes when there's a relationship between two people, maybe a high school girlfriend and boyfriend, and then somebody starts to feel a little different, like this isn't working any longer, that question comes up. And you know what that question is. Is everything all right? Is everything okay? And then there's the kind of this, I just don't think this is working any longer. You know, the whole body language thing, I'm not thinking this. And somebody's getting hurt and the other one's getting out. Let me tell you about God, man. You don't do that with the Lord. Because God is getting hurt. And you're getting out, but He's going to chase you down. He's going to send a Jerome by you. He's going to send me by you, and I'm going to tell you, don't run from Him. He created the track. He created the shoes. He created the legs. Stop. Let God minister to your heart. Let Him have who you are. Let Him invites you again to join Him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in a promise of eternal life. That's what the simple act of baptism does. It tells a story like I just told, but just by one action. Today is a day that I want you to look, the Lord wants you to look into your heart. To look into where you are with Him. Now, I'm not asking you to look into where you are and portray what you want people to see. I want you to see what you really see.